Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, g'day everyone. Welcome to News Fighters for today, the 19th of November, 2021. Where has the year gone? This is the third last News Fighters for the year. Can you believe that? I can't. News Fighters is a comedic look at the big stories of the week in Australian news, media and politics, presented by me, Dylan Bain, the cracked inner west tram of news comedy. Stick around, podcast fans, because this week I'm interviewing Jackson Bailey and Joel Zammit, host of such huge Sans Pants podcasts of Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation and more.
More bad movies.
More
please.
Just have.
That's
more
what I wanted.
Having a crack. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Go.
But first up, it's getting towards the end of the year, which means it's beginning to look a lot like election season.
We may yet be months away from a federal election, but it feels like campaigning is already in full swing in Sydney.
A confident-looking PM continued his pre-election campaign blitz.
Hitting the unofficial hustings again today.
He wants to shore up as much support as possible during this unofficial election campaign.
The PM's been cooking, eating, and posing for selfies in an attempt to show how Australian life is finally returning to normal.
Yeah, Scott Morrison there, trying to look like life is returning to normal. Just like me, I know I went out for a haircut last week with my personal press pack of paparazzi photographers. You know, like a normal person. So the battle lines are being drawn for the next federal election, which is looking like it'll be in March or May of next year. And we can already see the themes that the leaders are going to be running on. Here's Morrison's economic pitch.
I think that does highlight that Australia's economic recovery has to be secured by people who have a track record in economic management. Otherwise, you're going to see petrol prices go up, you're going to see electricity prices go up, you're going to see interest rates go up more than they would need to otherwise.
Yes, and funnily enough, I went on the Liberal Party website and saw you can actually now buy a Keeping Petrol Prices Down mug from their online store. Funnily enough, it seems to resemble a Back in Black mug from the 2019 budget that someone's just liquid-papered Keeping Petrol Prices Down on it. But that's what you expect from these guys, the better economic managers. Morrison's big overarching theme post-pandemic seems to be about the role of government.
Labor loves interfering in your life. They love telling you what to do. We've had enough of governments telling people what to do. It's the Labor Party's policies, as I say. They just always want to tell you what to do because they love telling you what to do. The Labor Party loves telling people what to do, and the only thing they like doing more than that is taxing them. Labor wants to tell you what to do. We don't want to tell them what to do. We want to support the decisions that they're making. Labor's all about telling them what to do.
I mean, saying Labor likes telling people what to do after the last 20 months is a bit like a child saying, oh, you can't trust my sister, she'll eat all the cookies, when they literally have a mouthful of stolen cookies. You're the man who literally shut down a group exercise class last year without even knowing what it was.
Health clubs, fitness centres, yoga,
Barre, I hope I've pronounced that correct. I might need some help with that. I'm not quite sure what that is, to be honest, but...
All right, and over on the other side of politics, how's Labor leader Anthony Albanese's attack lines coming along?
This is a Prime Minister who has walked away from scrutiny. This is a Prime Minister who on fundamental issues hasn't been fair dinkum with the Australian people. This is a government that is not fit for purpose for the 21st century.
Yeah, hasn't really mastered the art of repetition, has he, old Albo? Maybe try picking one and sticking with it, hey? Labor did nail ScoMo on this, though.
Scott Morrison was himself a target today as Labor scrutinised his claim that he has never told a lie while in public life.
You ever told a lie in public life?
I don't believe I have, no. No.
Prime Minister, you said earlier today you've never lied in public life. Is that really true?
Yeah, that's what I believe to be true. And if, what are you suggesting? When do you think I did?
Yes, that's right. Scott Morrison believes he has never told a lie in public life, which sounds like a lie to me. But if he does actually mean it, he could still be lying after all. He's just employing the George Costanza defence.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Thankfully, Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce was a bit more frank about if he'd ever lied.
Probably.
And also, just
no shame about that?
Well, I don't know. If you ask me a personal question about my life, I don't have to give you the straight answer.
Yes, you know, personal questions like, where'd your wife go? Who's this new young woman? Didn't she work in your office? How many kids do you have now anyway? And on a side note, while we're talking about Barnaby this week, the COP26 conference, of course, announced that they're going to start phasing down coal. The world is going to work towards the phasing down of coal, which of course meant Barnaby Joyce was out spruiking it.
The Nationals leader putting the coal back in the coalition.
If the world's buying it, there's a market for it.
Yes, Barnaby, but there's also a worldwide market for human slaves and black market organs, but Australia doesn't decide to trade in these things because they're evil. Mind you, if you feel like selling your brain to black market organ buyers overseas, go right ahead, because I don't think they'll have much interest in your liver. Oh, and while we're talking about coal, this is what Boris Johnson had to say at the end of the COP26 conference this week.
It is beyond question that Glasgow has sounded the death knell for coal power.
Which, of course, led Scott Morrison and National Senator Matt Canavan to say, death knell? You mean still alive for decades to come, don't you?
Do you agree that COP26 sounded the death knell on coal?
No.
So you disagree with Boris Johnson?
No, I don't believe it did. And for all of those who are working in that industry in Australia, they'll continue to be working in that industry for decades to come.
There's never been stronger demand for our coal. And given the fact that the agreement did not say that coal needs to be phased down or taken out, it's a big green light for us to build more coal mines, supply the world more coal, because that is what brings millions of people out of poverty. So we've got the best quality coal in the world, and we should be supplying that to the world because it's good for the environment to do that.
What the hell? Good for the environment? That's a bald-faced lie, Matt Canavan. Ugh, well, I certainly hope that got fact-checked on the Today Show. In fact, it was one of those debate segments, so let's just see what kind of a rebuke he got from the other panellist.
I grew up in a coal mining community, so I think there will be people who take comfort from that position from Glasgow.
Ah, what a counterpoint. That's exactly the kind of balance you expect from the Nine networks these days. On one side, you have a Conservative Nationals senator who loves coal debating against a Murdoch Daily Telegraph editor. What balance? Meanwhile, the ABC seems to have to put a pro-genocide panellist on every episode of Q&A, even the arts one. Last week, the panellists were John Bell, Jimmy Barnes, Katie Noonan, and Bashar al-Assad for some unknown reason, just so Andrew Bolt and the Sky News night crew wouldn't get upset that the ABC's gone too left-wing. Anyways, back to the environment, and last Friday afternoon, the government finally released its net zero modelling. It revealed an interesting election policy that nobody was expecting.
The Prime Minister is heading to the next election with a proposed carbon tax, but under a different name. It was unveiled in modelling today as part of Australia's plan to reach net zero.
Paying farmers, companies and communities for projects removing carbon from the atmosphere through credits they can trade with polluters to offset emissions. Not a tax, says Scott Morrison,
yep.
A price.
What's the difference between that and a carbon tax?
Well, what we have is the cost of abatement that is run through our Climate Solutions Fund. So we've been running that for years. That's what we're doing. We don't have a carbon tax. We will never have a carbon tax. No, there's no carbon tax in Australia, and there won't be one.
Yeah, never going to be a carbon tax. Where have we all heard that before?
There will be no carbon tax under the government I lead.
Well, I guess that means the Liberals are definitely going to have a carbon tax. Well, Labor, I know who you need to hire if you want to win the next election.
We will fight this tax every second of every minute of every day of every week of every month. I think there will be a people's revolt against this carbon tax.
Yes, and Tony Abbott's definitely available. I mean, all he's doing at the moment is his podcast, which means he must really be down on his luck. And wouldn't you know who else hates the carbon tax? Scott Morrison doing his impression of Borat.
Some may call this a carbon tax, Mr. Speaker.
Member
I'm
going to
call
Shortland.
It the Borat tax, Mr. Speaker. The Borat tax, which will be put on by the Labor Party with carbon credits to Kazakhstan. And I know what Borat would think of the Labor Party's policies on emissions reduction, Mr. Speaker. Very nice. Very nice.
Anyways, back to the fake election campaign, and there's even been some policy announcements this week.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison will tomorrow unveil his plans for a technological revolution in Australia, starting with a $100 million investment in new critical technologies.
Yes, and if they really want to win this election, one of those technologies will be a magical machine that makes you forget about the last 8 years. No, seriously though, Scott Morrison did outline what technology this includes.
With an initial focus on cyber capabilities, artificial intelligence.
Yes, that's right, artificial intelligence, because clearly he doesn't have any natural intelligence to begin with. Thankfully, Chris Yuman from Nine had a longer and better pronounced list of what the new technological policies will include.
Advanced materials, artificial intelligence, biotechnology, energy and the environment, quantum computing, sensing, timing and navigation, and transport, robots and space.
Yes, Scott Morrison is trying to win the 2022 election with robots. And yes, robotic innovation is something that Australia is increasingly becoming renowned for and better at. I mean, here was an Australian robot that made the news just last week. Let's see what it does. I bet it's something that's truly important and life-saving. Let's have a look.
A Bunnings store in Melbourne has introduced a sauce bot.
What?
Which smothers the iconic Sanger in tomato and mustard in just seconds.
That's not a sauce bot for anyone.
Yeah, hopefully the sauce bot is easier to understand than the last great Australian robotic innovation, which was Dexter from the 80s dating TV show Perfect Match.
I have really bent over backwards to find out your perfect match with a compatibility score of 75%. It's Steven's.
Wow, robots really have come a long way since then. I mean, Dexter couldn't even dispense mustard. Well, clearly I don't think Morrison's going to win the election just with robots and coal miners. Who else is he courting? That's right, you guessed it. Anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist nutjobs.
Our vaccinated Prime Minister is tonight accused of pandering to anti-vaxxers to lift his election chances after saying he doesn't support government-imposed jab mandates once targets are reached.
We're not in favour of mandatory vaccines imposed by the government. Businesses can make their own choices.
Arguing once herd immunity is achieved, unvaccinated people should not be shut out.
They should be able to go to a coffee, go and get a cup of coffee in Brisbane when you're over 80%, regardless of whether you've had the vaccines or not.
Yes, and coincidentally, the worst thing if you happen to catch coronavirus when you go out for coffee in Brisbane is that you had to drink the coffee in Brisbane. Stephen Miles, the Deputy Queensland Premier, knew what was up with Morrison's comments, though.
Our Prime Minister more interested in currying favour with coffee baron donors and lunatic backbenchers than the health and the jobs of Queenslanders.
Wow, little did I know that the coffee barons still held such sway over our main political parties. Mind you, I have to say I prefer this over America, where, you know, they have the gun lobby. I mean, they have the NRA, we have Nescafe. They have Smith & Wesson, we have Pablo's and Rusty's. They have Tobin Arms, we have Toby's Estate. I have Wikipedia, I could go on and on. Also, speaking of coffee, if you want to be my personal coffee baron, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. And finally, on the election campaign, Morrison knows the way to clinch the deal and win the election is to probably just try the most tried and trusted thing he always does, bribe us with tax cuts.
An extra $1,000 could be on the way for millions of Australians as part of a pre-election tax sweetener from the Morrison government.
Yeah, so in conclusion, Scott Morrison is trying to score another miraculous election win by pandering to coal miners, conspiracy theorists and coffee barons while trying to confuse us with nonsense technobabble about robots and green hydrogen, while basically introducing a carbon tax, the opposition of which was the main tenant that brought his whole government to power 8 years and two prime ministers ago. All the while, he's going to simultaneously hand out endless free money in the form of unsustainable tax cuts while pretending the other guys are the bad economic managers. And if Scott Morrison thinks we're dumb enough not to realise that his government believes in nothing except lying to win elections, well, ScoMo mustn't have much
artificial intelligence.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, joining me now on Newsfighters, Jackson Bailey and Joel Zammit.
Hello.
For those of you who don't know, Kings of Sans Pants, is Kings the
yeah,
right term?
I would say yeah. so. Yeah, I think it is.
I think so. I like Grand Tsar at some point, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Where's going?
Thanks. I'll take King, yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show. What I'm trying to do is have a bit of synergy because, like, I'm on the Sans Pants Network. Great honor, great course, privilege. Yeah. Love to be here. But I feel like our listeners don't overlap. So yeah. I want to get some synergy happening here. So just fill us in on you guys and all the great podcasts you do on Sans Pants.
Well, we do too many shows. A lot of them are based mostly around pop culture and dumb questions that no one thought to ask but us. And a lot and far too much, I want to say, of Dungeons and Dragons because we are big, big nerds.
Yeah, big nerds. We have Plumbing the Death Star, where we ask just the stupidest questions about pop culture you can imagine. It's the show that began as like, we're theory crafting, you know? We're creating these interesting questions. Oh, nobody's asked this.
What was the villain's motivations? Why were they doing that? Did they have maybe something they weren't revealing to the audience? Let's do a deep delve in maybe the systemic problems of, say, some fictional universes.
But then so now it's like, Hamburglar, is he a hero or an anti-hero? We don't know.
So, but it's still good.
They're important.
I would say better.
They're important. Plumbing the Death Star is that your biggest podcast? Probably the most famous one. And the whole idea is it's like hypothetical pop culture questions. I listened to a great episode. You had Ben Lee on to talk about what Seinfeld character you'd play. And I thought I knew Seinfeld, but you had a lot of obscure Seinfeld references there.
Yeah, somehow. What's so funny about that Ben Lee episode is specifically I had been rewatching a lot of Seinfeld and I was like, Dusha, wouldn't this be a funny question? And he's like, yeah, that'd be funny to do with Ben Lee, but I have no idea if he cares about Seinfeld or whatever. But then Dusha was listening to him on another podcast, and Ben Lee was like, I'm a massive Seinfeld head. I love Seinfeld. And he was like, Jackson, we're in. We're doing the signy question.
And what are some of the other hypotheticals? What are some of the funnier, more successful ones you've done on plumbing? Because it's every week. Do you run out of pop culture hypotheticals?
I like the how are you going to save the Titanic, which kind of just shows out ignorance in terms of world history, which was great.
I'm very lucky. So we have a sort of living document of possible questions that we could do on any episode. And, we all kind of contribute to it whenever we have an idea. And all of mine are stupid. But recently we've had a run of guests. And normally my questions get ignored by the other two Joels. Joel Dusher is the third member of Flavor the Death Star because they're like, Jackson, that's not clever. That's a bad episode. But we let guests pick the topic. And for like a run of four episodes, guests picked my stupid bullshit. And I was in hog heaven. I think Hamburglar, hero or villain, was one of mine.
What was the ultimate decision on that? Because, I mean, all he does is steal hamburgers. I would consider that villainous. Or is he a hamburger Robin Hood? Does he give them out to poor people?
Well, I think the conclusion of the hamburger is that he was basically just a corporate shill. And the problem is that it goes deeper than just the hamburger, because he is friends with Ronald McDonald, who is also great friends with May and McCheese. And so really, it's just almost like a false flag operation of the hamburger, trying to keep the... citizens of McDonaldville. What is their town called?
It does have a name, but I forget what it is. It might as well be McDonaldsville.
Yeah, McDonaldville, complacent.
The corruption always goes right to the top. Yeah, the fish runs from the head. Mm-hmm. That's all that proved.
And recently, we had our 400th episode ever, where we picked episodes that we'd always wanted to do, but the other two had always been against. And the one I picked was, would you receive the oral sex as described in Flo Rida's Whistle? You know the song that goes, let me hear your whistle, baby, let me know. And it was incredible. We all decided no, because we don't know what the hell's going on in that song.
And you also do Shut Up a Second, which I've been on, and you have and you have some amazing comedians on there. I was surprised, though, you don't actually tell them to shut up a second. What's the...
No. Well, I guess it shut up a second. Actually, the point is we went the opposite for some reason.
Right.
I guess it's like what you're getting is the listener wishes you would shut up, I suppose, as a vibe of shut up a second. Gotcha. Where people are like, please stop talking because, you know, no show infuriates people quite like shut up a second. And I love that about it. Because there's a lot of claims made every episode,
A lot of bold claims and a lot of hills that we choose, like you guys choose to die on, that often are like, why did you choose that hill? They're often meaningless, but we stand by them.
People were recently talking about an episode where I claimed that I could live in a house with no ground. No, nothing. Just a big hole.
Space. Floating in space?
Yeah, just space. Well, I think I was like, I'd have wires that I could cross like a big spider. Anyway, what I found out from the people discussing that was they were like, and then part two. And apparently I brought it up twice. I'm passionate about living in a no-ground house.
Would it be like one of those... indoor skydiving things.
I wish I could remember what past me meant, really. I don't know if I could defend past me's decisions there. But yeah, like those indoor skydiving ones, you just fly over to your kitchen, cook an egg, fly over to the toilet, fly over, kind of have a bath. I guess you could turn the tap on and the water just splashes
up.
The toilet would be problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Even cooking eggs, I feel, which is your go-to food of cooking, and I know you hate eggs.
Yeah,
but you always go to cooking eggs. That would also be hard because it would just fly up.
Yeah. But then you could you could go, you just open your mouth, the egg would fly in, but you've not cooked it yet.
You're just holding your... mouth open, waiting. It never comes down, Jack. It never comes down.
Yeah. Maybe you turn it off, slam into the ground, and the egg slams into your mouth. Turn it back on again every morning. Maybe that's how you have breakfast now. I don't know.
I don't think this will work.
Yeah, I may have to admit defeat. Yeah. That's fair.
It's back of the drawing board.
And then there's baseless speculation, which I've had to listen to. Now that's about upcoming pop culture, so things that are about
to come out.
Yeah, yeah. But looking back, it's been a tough year. We've all had lockdowns here. What pop culture's got you guys through this year? What movie, game, or TV show just was just the best thing that that you were addicted to this year?
So earlier this year, for a couple of reasons, my partner got a little bit sick, and so we just started watching, as like something to do in the evenings that was low energy, The Simpsons.
Amazing.
From season three on. And anyway, so it was really good in those first early, the golden age, because those are good episodes. It's a great show.
Classic.
And then she got better, you know, or she got like, she improved. But we continued watching. And we're now on season 29.
Oh.
And so I've basically watched nearly all of The Simpsons that's ever been. And even though it's not good, I think it definitely has got me through lockdown because it's become such a fascinating enterprise in watching a show change and evolve. So yeah, I reckon that watching all of The Simpsons has definitely
and easy to watch.
Well, yeah, the first seasons are. Later seasons, you're like, what is happening? Oh my God, Elon Musk's on the show. Lady Gaga. There's a guest every episode now. It's hell.
But it's still, like, I reckon with The Simpsons, whenever I catch a new episode, like, the writing holds up. There's still gags. There's still funny bits.
Yeah. I'm still laughing every now and then, yeah.
But it's just so unrelatable. It's like single income in a big house? This is crazy.
Absolutely. I think the strangest thing about The Simpsons is watching it become more and more conservative over time. Like the episode I watched recently is about Mr. Burns going back to Yale, but it's too full of SJWs, so he opens his own university. That was the episode, and it was crazy. Like, he's like, oh, I want to start a nuclear power, like, class here. And all of the college students are like, we need safe spaces. And Mr. Burns is like, and then he goes and starts his own. And I was like, wow, how did we get here? What is going on? Oh, my God. But then... And this was crazy. The most recent episode I watched was about, so Homer, his GPS takes him down an alleyway, and he sees his dog, Santa's Little Helper, eating out of a garbage bin, and old Gil eating out of another garbage bin or whatever. And he's like, I gotta hit one. Which one do I hit? And so he hits old Gil instead of his dog. And then old Gil sues him, and in court he has to prove that a dog's life, and everybody ultimately agrees, a dog's life is worth more than old Gil's.
Oh my God.
This is an argument I have with my friends all the time. I'm like, I am more important and worth more than a dog. Uh-huh. But every time I say that, everyone's like, well, no. What dog, Jackson? What dog?
I think of all our friends, I think I might be the only one that has not hesitated. And to
you
be
are.
Like, no, I would be like, yeah, Jack, I value Jack more than a dog every single time. But every one of our friends is always just like, and they think about it.
Even if they say yes, there's like a pause where clearly they're considering, maybe some dogs are worth more than Jackson's life. Anyway, that was crazy to see on The Simpsons. I was like,
I'd argue you'd be more likely to kill a dog but just injure a human, but it's a high risk to take.
Yeah, just go down the middle with your car. Injure me and the dog.
And what about you, Joel? What pop culture has got you through this year? What have you been into?
I would say mostly comic books in terms of my beloved X-Men. Being an X-Men fan from way back when and having to deal with so much garbage over the last, since I began reading X-Men. they've finally gotten a decent sort of writing crew and started really just making the X-Men interesting again. And it's just really fascinating. It's very interesting. I absolutely love it. They've got this whole new mutant island of Krakoa. They're a whole nation of people now. They're wanting to be recognized as a sovereign nation. And all this all this interesting bullshit is happening. And it's been getting me through. But it has been getting crap again. So it's nice to know that they're back on their bullshit. But there was that beautiful period of time where I was very excited. Very, very excited to keep reading.
Ain't that just comics, man? again, yeah, where you're like, it's good again, it's good again. But in the back of your head, you're like, but how long is it going to last? You know,
by what?
Yeah. How long is it going to last? Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
And which comic book? Is it a series of them or is it just a specific X-Men one?
Oh, it's all the X-Men. Like, so okay. They got Jonathan Hickman, who kind of revamped the Avengers and Fantastic Four previously to be like, I want to be in charge of the X-Men again. Cool. Oh, sorry, I want to be in charge of the X-Men. He's going to breathe life into it. And so he started off with this kind of mini-series, House of X and Powers of X, which just changed the sort of status quo of the mutant in the Marvel cinema, in the Marvel universe. And then from there, all the different X titles sort of followed suit and sort of explored different themes about this kind of stuff. And it was just all these different writers that have like a lot of fun with it all. And then so I think of the first initial kind of like a few comics, there was only maybe one dud. And everyone was like, yeah, this one's bad, but everything else is great. Mm. And then now, though, oh, it's just beginning to kind of, the cracks are showing. It was announced that Jonathan Hickman is actually leaving as well. So it's just kind of like, oh, it was so good for so brief a time. And like the reason he's given is like, look, I had a three-act structure in terms of what I had planned to do. It was like a beginning, a middle, and end. But all these other writers are having so much fun at this, like, you know, this section here that I'm actually going to step back. And rather, as opposed to kind of, you know, sprinting to the end like I'd planned, we're just going to explore these areas over here first. And I'm like, that just sounds like PR bullshit and I hate it.
Absolutely,
and it feels like this is just going to go bad again. Let's just pick up Trials of Magneto. Oh, yeah, it sucks. It sucks. Kaiju appeared for no reason. Middle of the issue. Why? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been fun. I'm not a huge. I'm not a huge. You lost me a little bit there. I'm not a huge.
Marvel. That's fair enough.
DC fan.
That'll happen.
Yeah. You need to tell me to shut up for a second. This is the key.
That's where it comes from. But and what are you guys looking forward to in 2022? Pop culture wise.
Oh, man.
A lot coming out.
I don't even know.
I don't know if it's coming out in 2022, but I am looking forward to Dune, part two, I guess. I'm looking forward to I'm a Dune boy. I'm looking forward to seeing part one in the cinema when it finally comes out to Australia. Mm-hmm. So I sort of like also read like a comic adaptation of maybe a prequel of Dune. I don't know. Was very confused. And then I read like an adaptation of a comic adaptation of like Dune, which was like part one of whatever, how many that's going to be. And I was like, I think understand some of it. And then I just went on like a YouTube rabbit hole, like listening to all kinds of different lore about Dune. I kind of really got, I love that we have like, you know, the Bene Gesserit. We love that we've just got like, yes, these are the Harkonnen. This is like House Atreides. And we have all these like, we've got to go to Arrakis to get the spice melange. And then you have the main character, Paul, and his good friend, Duncan.
That is good.
Yeah.
I liked it. What I like about Dune, I mean, I don't care for Dune. It's too much for my little tiny pea brain to think about. Mm. But I like that we're getting, like, freak sci-fi back, you know? I feel like for too long we've had this kind of, like, this weird half-chub sci-fi.
Give us weird
where
shit.
It's like, I want freak shit. I want to be, like, watching... I mean, I guess it's kind of the X-Men thing. Like, people coming out of eggs... A lot of fake words, like bring that back to the to the movie. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, I don't know about.
Puts a hand in a box, and it's like, you know, do not fear. Fear is the mind killer. It's just like, okay, what's going to happen? All right, awesome shit. Why is he doing? Why is this a famous thing? All right, cool.
Give me that crazy shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what the hell's happening in 2022.
Well, we got the new Matrix. I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that'll be fun.
I think in terms of upcoming, Matrix 4 coming out, I believe, in December, I'm very excited for. The Wheel of Time TV series, a book, like a fantasy book series that I did not finish because it was very long and I don't commit to bits. Mm-hmm. That's coming out, I think, this month. So I'll be excited to, watch that, see if it's good. And also, so finally, to understand maybe the end of that storyline that I read so long ago. What else is coming out?
I don't know. I'm even like looking up movies that are coming out next year, and I can't see any. I mean, like there's ones I'll definitely have to go see for my job.
I know. Looking forward to the new Batman film? Are we looking forward to Morbius? I don't. Maybe to see how like bad maybe Morbius might be. So.
Yeah. Actually, on the point of like movies that I know are going to be like absolute dog shit, but I think it'll be funny for me. Actually, there's heaps of them.
That counts. That'll do.
We've got Jurassic World Dominion, Morbius, Avatar 2, Fantastic Beasts 3.
Oh my god, the Avatar sequels,
the Uncharted movie that's coming out. Oh my god!
Just reminded me about the Avatar series. We're getting three of them, are we?
It's been meant to come out for 10 years.
Oh yeah. Yes. It's going to be incredible.
Does that mean like a new Avatar movie like every year for like several years?
That's what we want. That's what the people
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited for all of that in a kind of death of cinema.
Cinema
sort of
is
way,
dying,
you know?
And I'm here to watch its death rattle.
And I've let me
we went 18 months without movies for this.
Exactly.
This is great. I'm all ready. Over it. I am so ready to get just feed me this bullshit. Feed me this garbage. Did you have a movie that maybe like you didn't like it didn't do well and have another crack at it? Why not? We're at that point now.
You screw up one movie, you make a terrible Suicide Squad movie, no one
have
likes
another.
You can
have
do
another.
It again. Why not? That's okay. We can make a Ghostbusters remake or sequel that we pretend means anything. Hey, this is important, but it's not important.
So many people are clamoring. It's nothing. I love me a Ghostbuster. It was so good. We need more of that. Look at all these loyal fans who love Ghostbusters.
Constantly disappointed.
Yeah.
No one... Ghostbusters doesn't mean anything. No, it's nothing. It was Dan Aykroyd's suckfest in the 80s and 90s. It's not important.
It's great.
More bad movies.
More
please.
Just have. That's more what I wanted. Having a crack. That's what I want.
Go. Why not? See if it's good this time.
I think that'll definitely be the case. All right, guys. Thanks for coming on. Wrapping up. Before we go, any tips for a fellow Sans Pants podcaster? What do I need to do to have a hugely successful Sans Pants podcast like you? Any tips?
I don't know how. I don't know how we have as many listeners as we do. That's absolutely.
Can you get
random,
dumber?
As far as I'm concerned.
Yes. I like.
You need to be stupider.
Like, just.
Find out what your IQ is now.
Kill those brain cells.
Yeah.
Kill those.
Make bold claims and never back down.
Yeah. That's
revel.
That's our idea. I think that's fine.
Okay. So I guess if you look at like happiness to depression as almost as opposed to a line as a circle.
Sure.
Yeah, you really want to get into that little bit, that little wedge where depression meets happiness, and you just want to go like this sucks, this sucks. Yeah. Oh, but maybe it's good. Maybe this
maybe
is what
it's
I want.
Good. Maybe it's
maybe
funny.
This absolute tragic and bullshit that's happening here. That bit's pretty funny.
Well, that's
I just lead into that.
Well, following Australian politics, that is my mood all the time.
Yeah.
Perfect. You're doing it already then.
Exactly.
Well, I went back. I almost went back to depression for a sec. Yeah, no, you gotta lean in. It's pretty funny. It's fucked.
You gotta lean in. What
so
are you doing?
Good. Did he lie? Do you think he lied to us? I know he lied to us. I don't necessarily agree with the statements of it. Yeah, no. What else can you tell us? Lean in. Good.
Beautiful.
God.
Beautiful.
Genius. All right, Jackson and Joel, anything to plug? Where can people find you? Shout out your shows.
Sure. You can find everything that we do on sanspantsradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at sanspantsradio. You could also follow me individually. I'm at goddammitzammit.
And I'm at All Dogs Are Dead. And if you want to follow me on Twitch, I'm twitch.tv/JacksonBailey, BALY, if you want to see that for whatever reason.
Amazing. All right, Jackson and Joel, thanks for being on News Fighters. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Woo! Cheers. Alrighty, that's News Fighters for today, the 19th of November, 2021. News Fighters is written, produced, and edited by me, Dylan Bain, for Sans Pants Radio. And a big thank you to Jackson and Joel for being on the show. Don't forget to check out all their podcasts and all the great Sans Pants Radio podcasts at sanspantsradio.com. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on your podcasting app of choice, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NewsFightersPod. To support the show, join our Patreon at patreon.com/newsfighters. Also, we refuse to advertise on Facebook, so sign up for our free Substack newsletter at newsfighters.com. And here it is for the third last time this year, and probably ever, your whiff of pine.
Which rather ranked with the Minister for Sport at the time, who said that there's nothing she liked more than seeing a couple of girls being punched around the ring.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.